You're listening to Radio Diaries.
Testing, 1, 2, 1, 2. Hi, this is Tembi.
Well, let me do the introduction now. Hi, my name is Josh.
My name is Randy Cooper.
My name is Amanda.
They call me Weasel.
This is Christelle.
Hi, this is Laura.
And I'm Joe Richmond. This is the Radio Diaries podcast. As always, if you like what we're doing here and want to help us keep it going, please consider making a donation at radiodiaries.org. You never know when you're going to stumble on a story. A few years ago, there was one sitting in front of me at a Knicks game. I didn't know it at the time, but that night was the 50th anniversary of the first NBA basketball game in 1946. And a few of the old men in the seats in front of me played in that game on that very first New York Knickerbockers team. Of course, professional basketball looked different a half century ago, and the Knicks did too. I learned that night that the first Knicks team was made up of mostly local boys. The center was Ralph Kaplowitz. Their high scorer was Sonny Hertzberg. And those guys told me what is still my favorite bit of sports trivia. The very first basket in NBA history was scored on a pass from Nat Miletic that led to a layup by Ossie Schectman. On today's podcast, The Starting Five. Just outside Fort Lauderdale, Florida, in a mall on Oakland Park Boulevard, there's a little breakfast spot called Bagels and Lox. Most mornings, it's a quiet place, but every Tuesday, a group of men in their 70s and 80s gather around a large table with coffee, hash browns, old photographs, and newspaper clippings. It's the weekly breakfast of the South Florida Basketball Fraternity, and every Tuesday morning starts off with a quiz.
All right, give me the Duquesne team of 1938.
Widowitz, Debnar, and Kasparik.
Who did Judge Crater play for?
Wait a minute. He played for Boston 7 games. Nobody said Boston. You said Syracuse.
Very good.
There are about 20 men at the table, all ex-basketball players and all from New York City. Jack Shaber is the official keeper of the archives. And there's Jack Kleinman, who played with the St. John's College Wonder Five in 1930. At the other end of the table is Hi Gotkin, known as Mighty Might, an All-American in the mid-30s. And right next to him is Ossie Schectman. As a member of the New York Knickerbockers in 1946, Schectman scored the first ever basket in the NBA.
Well, it was a simple give and go. It was one of those fast breaks, passed the ball, went to the basket, got a return pass. It's in the record book. And I was fortunate to score the first 2 points in NBA history.
Looks exactly like he did when he played for St. John's.
Back when Ossie Schectman made that first basket, the game wasn't nearly as popular around the country as it would soon become. There were college games and semi-pro barnstorming teams, but basketball was still mostly an inner-city game played by children of immigrants. Former New York Knickerbockers Sonny Hertzberg and Nat Miletic remember that almost every Jewish kid in New York in the 30s and 40s played basketball.
We used to fill a stocking hat with paper and pass it, there was no dribbling, and shoot it through the rungs of a fire escape ladder.
I never saw a dirt field. Everything was cement. And the only thing we can do, we had two choices. Either go in the schoolyard and play ball or hang around the corner and get in trouble. So we played basketball all our lives.
Growing up, none of them ever thought that basketball could be a full-time occupation. But in the summer of 1946, word went out that a new professional basketball league was forming. Ralph Kaplowitz still has the yellow, crinkled piece of paper that brought him the news.
In August of 1946, I received this telegram in which it said, "Interested in having you play with New York professional basketball team next season, please telephone me."
The team was the New York Knickerbockers. Scribbled in pencil on Kaplowitz's telegram are a bunch of numbers, a 4 with 3 zeros, an 8 with 3 more zeros. This may have been the first salary negotiation in NBA history. And at the bottom is the amount Kaplowitz would end up being paid for the season, $6,500.
Frankly, if someone would have taken care of our family, we would have played the game for nothing.
Basketball makes its debut in Toronto as the New York Knickerbockers and the Toronto Huskies' white jerseys tangle.
The season opened on a Friday night, November 1st, 1946, with the New York Knicks visiting the Toronto Huskies.
at the beginning, the starting five was Kaplowitz and Hertzberg and Gottlieb, Ossie Scheckman, and the center. At the beginning was Jake Weber. After the tip-off, the play went from one player to another, to another player, to another player.
Of course, I didn't remember it until I saw it on the video. And they show number four giving them a pass underneath to lay up the ball. Well, number four happened to be me. So now I got the first assist. Now my wife is sitting there and says, "You dummy, why didn't you shoot the ball?"
The Huskies go down the court to score again. But despite the comeback, New York scores this basket to win 68-66.
In the first half of this century, basketball was considered a sport for small athletes, with quick weaves, quick ball handling, and the steady two-handed set shot. A very different game than the one played today.
We never had anyone dunk a ball. Do you know why? Because if you touched the rim, it was a technical foul.
In those days, we didn't know about the one-handed shot. We all shot two hands. This is what everybody did. We shot two hands.
And you certainly didn't take no jump shots. There was no such thing as a jump shot. You took a jump shot, you'll be sitting next to the coach.
There were 11 teams that first year, including the Boston Celtics, the Philadelphia Warriors, the Providence Steamrollers, the Washington Capitals, the Chicago Stags, and the St. Louis Bombers. For Sonny Hertzberg, it was a long way from the neighborhood playground.
The newspapers called the NBA a major sport. You became a celebrity all of a sudden. There were kids out there with their parents, with programs looking for autographs. It was a new experience for all of us.
The Knicks' season started well. They were winning games. Sonny Hertzberg was the team's leading scorer. The home crowds were growing. But on the road, the Knicks began having some problems. This was 1946, a time when Jews were effectively barred from many clubs and universities. And with names like Kaplowitz, Hertzberg, Scheckman, Rosenstein, and Gottlieb, fans started to identify the Knicks as a Jewish team.
Playing in Pittsburgh, and they came out on the floor, I heard them saying, "East side, west side, here comes the Jews from New York."
When there were comments by the fans, by yelling, "Abe, throw the ball to Abe," or "Abe, throw the ball to Abe," that perhaps Neil Cohalan, our coach, didn't like what was going on and might have mentioned it to management.
I think there was a conscious effort on the part of Madison Square Garden to get rid of the Jewish ball players.
Next thing I knew, after half the season went by, I was traded to the Philadelphia Warriors.
It was just too much, and I just lost interest. Physically, I think I could have played, but I lost my desire to play at that time.
I was the only Jewish ball player left at the end of the season.
That's because you were a good shooter.
Thank you.
Over the next year, trading players, for all kinds of reasons, became more common. And soon, each city had fewer and fewer local ball players. By the time the second season started, not one of the original starting five was still playing with the New York Knickerbockers. Ralph Kaplowitz spent one more year with the Philadelphia Warriors and then went into the insurance business. Sonny Hertzberg joined the Washington Capitals. He then played another 2 years with the Boston Celtics before becoming an optician. Nat Nolitzak went back to college and then to law school. And Ossie Scheckman, who scored the first basket in the NBA, left the league after the first season to work in the garment industry.
That's it.
Ralph Kaplowitz and Sonny Hertzberg still see each other at least once a week. And on very rare occasions, Kaplowitz brings a ball.
A little higher, you know. Maya. Good.
They shoot a couple baskets, and then Kaplowitz pulls out his scrapbook. Newspaper clippings, box scores, and photos from their first year with the New York Knicks.
Chicago Stags.
Yeah.
They beat us 78-68.
Look at the box score. How'd I do?
Hertzberg, 19 points. You were the high scorer of the team, but I was the second high scorer.
At 77, Ralph Kaplowitz is the oldest living New York Knickerbocker. And 50 basketball seasons later, he says he probably didn't have as much fun playing as he's having now, looking back.
When I feel sorry for myself, I take this book and I read it, and I see how wonderful I was.
You were a good ball
so
player.
So I feel better.
You were a good ball player.
This story originally aired on NPR in 1997. Since that time, Ralph Kaplowitz and Sonny Hertzberg have both died, along with most of the other members of the first Knicks team. But Ossie Schectman, who scored the first basket in NBA history, is still alive and well at 93. The Radio Diaries podcast is produced by Sarah Kate Kramer. If you enjoy our work, please consider making a donation. Just go to radiodiaries.org and click donate. I'm Joe Richman. Thanks for listening.